All right, so get ready to dive into something that's got me seriously, like, really intrigued today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking scalable web applications built with Scalawhite.
Okay.
And you're probably thinking, hold on, isn't Scalawhite that database for, small local stuff?
Right, that's what I would think. Yeah.
And you'd be right,
Right.
mostly.
Yeah.
But there's this article by Demis Bilotti, who's a well-respected developer in the .NET world, and he kind of throws that whole assumption out the window. Like, he's really challenging this idea that you need these massive, expensive databases to handle, serious web traffic.
Interesting. So what's he suggesting? What's the article about?
So it's actually fascinating how he flips the script. He dives into how developers are using Scalawhite, which we know for its like simplicity
Yeah.
and speed, to power applications that you'd think would demand a lot more oomph. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that's really interesting, 'cause I always thought about it as, kind of a limited use case for SQLite. So what are some of the things he talks about in there?
Okay, so that's exactly what we're diving into today. We've got this article. It's packed with all these technical insights, real-world examples. We'll unpack how SQLite actually stacks up against the big players.
Okay.
Talk about the hurdles you'll need to overcome
Right.
and, the tools that really make this whole thing possible.
Okay. Because, I mean, one of the first things that comes to mind is that single writer bottleneck you always hear about with SQLite. I
Exactly.
mean, that's always been the big kind of deal breaker for these larger scale applications.
All right, you can't have a traffic jam when you've got like hundreds of users trying to update their profiles or make purchases at the same time, right?
Yeah.
But that's where things get really interesting. This article, it doesn't just leave us hanging with a problem.
Okay, good.
It lays out creative solutions the developers are actually using to overcome that bottleneck and really unlock Swellite's potential for scalability.
Oh, okay. Like, how are they getting around that?
So one approach the article talks about is using multiple SQLite databases. So think of it like this. Instead of cramming all your data into one giant warehouse, you create specialized departments. So you might have one database dedicated to user data, another one for product information, and so on. And this really helps distribute those write operations so you avoid that single file bottleneck.
Okay, so it's like a divide and conquer approach.
Yeah, exactly.
Divide and conquer. I can see how that would work, but then what happens when you have data that's interconnected?
Yeah.
Like you need to update a user's profile and their order history at the same time.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And that's where database locks and sync commands come into play.
Okay. So how do those work?
So think of these as like the traffic signals and queuing systems that prevent collisions and keep everything running smoothly.
Right.
So database locks, they make sure only one write operation is happening at a time, even if multiple requests come in simultaneously. And then sync commands, they manage the order of those operations so there's no data corruption.
Okay, so it's not just a free-for-all at the database store. You're
Exactly.
implementing a little crowd control there.
Exactly. A little crowd control. And you might be
Oh.
wondering, is this just theoretical or is this actually working in the real world? And get this, the author actually built an AI image generation application called Blazor Diffusion. Entirely on SQLite.
Wow. Okay, so this isn't just some small side project.
No. And Blazor Diffusion, for those who don't know, it's a framework for building interactive web UIs.
Right.
So it's handling a lot of data, a lot of user interactions, all powered by what many would consider like a lightweight database.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
That is impressive. They're really putting their money where their mouth is with this. So we've got ways to manage that single write bottleneck. But what about data loss? I mean, that's a big concern with relying on these standalone files, right?
That's a great point, and that's something we definitely need to talk about.
Yeah, that's a valid concern. It's one thing to, lose your to-do list on your phone. It's quite another if your entire customer database goes up in smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
But luckily, there's a pretty ingenious solution for that, and it's highlighted in the article, Lightstream.
Lightstream. Okay. That's ringing a faint bell, but I think I need like a little refresher here. What's the deal with Lightstream?
So imagine Lightstream as this like constant guardian for your SQLite database. So it runs in the background and it's creating a real-time replica of your data
Okay.
to a separate, more secure location. So think of it like a super-powered backup system that's always on.
Okay, so even if something catastrophic happens to that main SQLite file, you've got a spare. So that takes care of that whole like eggs in one basket fear.
Exactly. And it's not just about disaster recovery either. This continuous replication, it also boosts scalability because since other systems can read from that replica, it takes some pressure off that primary database.
So we've got ways to manage that write bottleneck. Backups are covered. Why else should someone reading this article be excited about SQLite for these larger apps? What's the big aha moment here?
Well, remember those cost savings we talked about earlier, like SQLite being free to use?
Right, right.
Well, this is where it gets really compelling. The article argues that by using these techniques, SQLite can actually be a more cost-effective approach than relying on those big-name cloud database services.
Wait, so hold on. You're saying I could potentially ditch the cloud and all those monthly bills?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a pretty bold statement.
It is, it is. But hear me out. So the article, it uses Hetzner as an example. So they're a hosting provider, and they're known for their budget-friendly plans.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine you get yourself a powerful server, but it's a fraction of the cost of what you'd pay for a high-end cloud database.
Okay.
You run your SQLite application on that server. Suddenly, you've got a high-performance setup, but without the hefty price tag.
Okay, so instead of renting space in the cloud, I'm basically becoming my own landlord with, like, a super efficient tenant in SQLite.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Now, again, it's not a magic bullet for every situation, right? Yeah. You need to be comfortable managing your own infrastructure.
Right.
And it might not be ideal for applications with really complex data relationships.
Sure, yeah.
But for the right project, this approach can be a game changer.
So we've gone deep on the advantages, tackled some major concerns. But before anyone listening runs off to rewrite their entire tech stack, let's talk about when SQLite might not be the best fit. Because there's got to be a flip side, right? It's like that old saying, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right?
Yeah.
So SQLite could be a powerful tool, but it's not the right tool for every job.
Right, exactly. And I think that's an important point. The article's not saying to just like throw out everything else and use SQLite for everything. It's about understanding where it fits, where it doesn't.
Totally. So let's talk about those situations where SQLite might not be the best fit. What should our listeners be thinking about as they evaluate this for their own projects?
Well, one thing is if your application needs to leverage some of those like really complex database features, things like stored procedures, triggers, you know, stuff that lets you build logic directly into the database itself, SQLite might not be the best choice there.
Okay. So if you got like a really intricate data model, you need those advanced features. Mm-hmm. Might be best to stick with the database that's, you know, built for that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about using the right tool for the job. And then the other big one, as you might guess, is if you need your application to run across multiple servers.
Right. Because that single writer bottleneck we were talking about before, that's a whole other beast in a distributed system, right?
Exactly. Trying to coordinate those write operations across different servers, that can get really messy really fast.
Yeah, I can imagine.
In those situations, you're better off with a database system specifically designed for that kind of distributed environment, something that can handle that concurrency from the get-go.
This has been awesome. It's a good reminder that, you know, keeping up with technology isn't just about chasing the newest thing. Sometimes it's about going back and really understanding what those tools that we already have that we might even think are basic can do.
Totally. And the article actually has a great resource to help with that. They mention SQLite's checklist for choosing the right database engine, and it basically lays out all these key questions to ask yourself.
We'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes. But before we wrap up, what's like the one big takeaway you're hoping people walk away with today?
I think for me, it's about challenging our assumptions. You know, we tend to put SQLite in this box, you know, this lightweight solution just for small projects. But with the right approach, it can power some seriously impressive applications.
It's like we uncovered this hidden superpower. So for anyone listening who's ever been curious about SQLite, or maybe, you know, you dismissed it in the past, I really encourage you to take another look, you know, dig into those techniques we talked about, check out that checklist, and you might be amazed at what you can build.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what's so cool about what we do, right? It's about pushing the boundaries. And sometimes that means finding new ways to use the tools we already have.
And on that note, we'll leave you with this thought. What if the future of web development is about doing more with less? Building leaner, faster, more cost-effective solutions. Something to think about as you head off on your next coding adventure. Until next time, keep exploring, keep innovating, and keep diving deep.